RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from February 1933. The Emperor of Death, the first adventure of the Phantom Detective, Nemesis of Crime, by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Lone dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Lone returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Lone swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Emperor of Death. Chapter 1. Treason. Richard Curtis Van Lone stood in the friendly darkness of a tenement doorway, his face buried in the ample collar of his overcoat. From time to time, his alert eyes swept the dimly lit street, as if in impatient search of something. A big black town car slowly wended its way through the traffic toward him. Van Lone sighed with the air of a man who has relieved his fears and stepped out on the edge of the curb. His slouch hat was pulled down over his eyes, his chin still buried in his coat. The driver of the car could not have recognized him even if he had turned his well-trained head, which he didn't. Van Lone entered the car without raising his head. He picked up the speaking tube and said, "I think you know where." The chauffeur nodded, and the purring car started forward silently through the streets of Baltimore. As they passed through the town, Van Lone thrust his hand in his coat pocket, and, pushing back his head, hastily adjusted a black silk mask across his eyes. Now satisfied that he was beyond recognition, he no longer sank his firm square chin in his collar. He leaned back in the seat and lit a cigarette, secure in the knowledge that he had not been observed, quite confident that this esoteric mission of his was not known to his enemies. He smoked placidly, utterly unaware that peril in the form of a black Lincoln sedan followed close behind him. They were but 20 miles out of Washington when the Lincoln swept in to the attack. A motor pounded somewhere behind them. A horn blared raucously. A blackness darker than the darkness of the night swept along the road, swerved inward, forcing Van Lone's car to the dangerous soft shoulders of the number one highway. Brakes locked, screamed, and threw an acrid stench into the air. A man's voice shouted. Both cars stopped dead, the hood of Van Lone's touching the Lincoln's mudguard. Cursing the false sense of security which had paralyzed his normal alertness, Van Lone sprang to the door of the car, a snub-nosed automatic in his hand. His mouth was set in a grim white line as he stepped out onto the running board to challenge his enemies of the night. But those enemies, apparently, were more than willing to meet him. Three black shapes whirled through the darkness. Van Lone's gun spat twice. Red streaked black. He heard a cry of pain. Then the trio of flying shapes completed their journey. They landed upon him, knocking the breath from his body, seizing the wrist that held the weapon. A fist sank deep in the pit of his stomach. He went down as if an avalanche had struck him. Yet he retained his consciousness. He heard a harsh voice cry, "Get the cars out of the road. Hurry. There's little time to waste." Van Lone lay on the ground, held there by one man now. The others had gone in answer to the orders of the harsh voice. In Van Lone's consciousness there remained a single salient thought, a command which every living nerve in his body knew that it must obey. He must not let them take his mask from his face. Already his captor was bending over him.